few months ago, Bert and I were talking about the role of the eldership. And in the conversation, the idea struck us that the elders need to address the congregation from time to time and to speak on particular subjects or themes or programs or whatever may be necessary at that time. And I said, well, when are you going to do that, Bert? And he said, well, whenever. So he's been preparing to say something to us today. And I have an idea of what his subject is, but I'll let him announce that. I'm not sure what he's going to say about it. But I'm asking you to give him your undivided attention as he shares with us from his perspective of the eldership and the needs of this congregation. We're delighted to have Bert to do that for us today.
It's like Trading Places. There's a movie made called Trading Places. We're not trading places, Cletus. But I mentioned to Cletus, and also I mentioned to Rex, that I had in my studies come across some subjects that I would put into a sermon lesson or to a lesson for the evening for Bible study. So this is what prompted Cletus to say, well, when are you going to do it? From the outset, this lesson is geared for one person, and that's me, it's Bert. Because this is my experience. And if I say something that you don't agree with, let me know. I'm nervous, which is natural. But I also talked with Mark, and Mark will have a part in this lesson as well, and I'll let you know of that when it comes, when we get to it. But this lesson starts about 45 years ago when Zona and I were baptized. Brett wasn't even a year old. And I've been thinking about this a lot of times since then, and I thought I would share it with you and say this is with me, for me. When Zona and I first attended church, I was not very faithful in attendance, especially on Sunday nights. The lesson hinges around Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25, if you want to turn. And it reads, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembly of others, ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Now, I'm going to read this again in the easy-to-read version, because the easy-to-read version is meant for the deaf. And the deaf people understand differently than we do. And this kind of brings it out a little bit more. So the easy-to-read version reads this way. We should think about each other and see how we can help each other to show love and do good works, do things. We should not quit meeting together. That's what some people are doing. But we should meet together and strengthen each other. You should do this more and more as you see the day coming. And that day coming is Judgment Day. Now the whole lesson for me hinges on verse 25 and not forsaking the church, the assembly. Let me jump forward a few years. Let's see, it was about 1961 we were baptized, and we moved to Dade City, and Brett was about 9 or 10 years old, and Lee will appreciate this. I was a scout leader. As all scout leaders know, if you go to a camp or you go somewhere and there's an opportunity to get a coffee mug, you're going to buy not one, you're going to buy two or three. Because when you get back, you're going to share one with others and they're going to trade back and forth, so you collect coffee mugs. Well, over here in the corner of the living room, I had two coat racks, 10 pegs on each one of them, and I lacked about 3 or 4 cups of filling the whole thing up. So Zona was kidding with me. She says, Bert, when those racks get filled up, you can't have any more. Well, Miss Ruth, Brett heard that conversation. He says, Mom, You can't tell Daddy what to do because he's head of the household. So I'm the head of the household, and I'm supposed to be the spiritual leader of my family. Now, back to when we were first baptized, we would attend morning services, and we'd go to Weirsdale, which we were living at Fruitland Park above Leesburg. We'd go to Weirsdale and have lunch with my folks, and I'd help in the grove and do different things there, and it would get time to come home to evening services, Cletus. And I said, you know, it's getting too late. We won't do that. It's only a 15-minute drive, up there anyway. And so I was helping Pop with things, and we wouldn't make it for evening services. And that was my fault. And I'm supposed to be the spiritual leader. Well, we moved to Dade City, just north of Tampa, just north of Zephyr Hills. And it's 15 miles south to go to worship service. So we attended every services there because it was too far to go to Mom's Sunday afternoon. Well, occasionally we did. We were starting to go every service, and it just became something we did. But when we go off to vacation, we try to find a church that we can visit. And the first Memorial Day that I didn't have to work, John and I went to Savannah, and we sat down in the church there for worship, and who should sit down right in front of us? Gordy and Tony and their family. They were meeting there, and they met, and they had services there. Well, and the church was established here in Plymouth. It was just that little building back over there with the classrooms and offices. And the leaders of the church decided that Sunday morning we would have Bible study and worship service, and Sunday evening worship service, and Wednesday night Bible study. And that hasn't changed. Well, we've with the exception of canceling a Bible study or worship service now and then, it's been the same way. But when my family came here to Plymouth, and this was the front door right here, December of 1973, I was so impressed with the congregation here because there may have been, I think the number was like 45. Well, for Sunday morning Bible school and Sunday evening worship and Wednesday night, it would be about 40. I don't think it was over 4 or 5 less. And these folks can help tell you that. That's, what, 1%, 2%? Missing. I was so impressed with this. People just assembled to worship. And should we be any different than that today? I think not. So what keeps us away from services? Well, you name it. TV, movies, or maybe like when I was first baptized, I was in no hurry to get home for Sunday evening services. I like to mention about being on time. Remember I said the lesson was for me and then for all of us. And have you been late for services a lot or most of the time? And which I have. No one ever came to me and said, Bert, you should think about getting here on time. Nobody did that. But there's a different scenario for that thing. When we'd pull up here because we parked here, we'd come in and pull in this drive. There'd be somebody out there and says, Bert's here, it's time to start. Berkshire, it's time to start. And that didn't say, hey, you need to get here on time. He just said, Berkshire, it's time to start. And I thank Phil for that. I know Phil was kidding me a lot, but it served a good purpose, and I appreciate that. I asked the father of several children. I said, you're late for services, you know, with your children and all this, you know. You're bound to be late once in a while. And he said 4 words. He says, that is no excuse to be late because of the children or adults. He said, you need to plan and want to be at service. Psalms 122 and 1. David said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. David declared that he was glad to go into the house of the Lord for worship. Today, many Christians are glad to go to their church building to worship, but many are becoming dropouts and forsaking the assembly of God's people. Their reasons for quitting vary. I wanted to stay at my parents' house a little longer, but David delighted in entering the house to serve the God. Some reasons for maintaining church attendance. Believers need help to reflect on the past week and see it as just a small part of the journey of life. They will benefit from being taught and led in worship by others rather than feeding on a constant diet of their own. To hear how believers in the past struggled, grew, and lived out their faith, as I am sharing with you today. To experience expressions of faith, such as music and prayer, they benefit from the silence before the Lord once in a while. Peace sometimes comes in silence. Help to face the issues of life and faith as presented through teaching, an alternative to the constant messages of a culture that ignores God. A conscious break from the work and self-interest in order to concentrate on the Lord. To hear a reminder of God's love, help in prayer. I learned how to improve my prayers by listening to others. And one brother that's passed on that I always enjoyed listening to his prayer was Cecil Pipkins. He says, "I'll do the best I can." He always did good. Believers need to belong to a community of faith that includes others who are trying to live out the gospel. I save a lot of little sayings of different things. And I don't always write down the author of who they were, but I think this next thing is what I copied from one of Bill Weaver's lessons. I want you to think about what this says. People say that worship is work. They work at playing and play at worship. I carry this in my planner so that I'm reminded. I remind myself all the time of how I should take worship seriously. Mark on December 28th had the invitation on Wednesday night, and he gave some statistics and things that was very good and enlightening. And listening to the invitation, I said, "Mark, can I borrow that from you to put in my lesson, because it just helped to make the lesson?" And he said, "Yes," and he emailed me the whole thing. So this next part we credit to Mark. Mark made some comparisons of the seven churches in Revelation. He said, "It's Plymouth like that. Ephesus, the love for Christ was no longer fervent. Nothing was said about Smyrna. Pergamos, they tolerate immorality, idolatry, and heresies. Thyatira tolerates cult of idolatry and immorality. Sardis was a dead church. Philadelphia, no criticism, according to my notes here. Laodicea, they were indifferent." And Mark went back last year into the attendance records from May 1st to December 31st. And I always think about when I'm gone and about what Mark had here. I think about, where was I from May 1st to December 31st, 2005? Comparing to Sunday morning 10:30 worship services, Mark found that 40% fewer people show up for Sunday morning 9:30 Bible class. 50% fewer people show up for Sunday evening worship service. 60% fewer people show up for evening service Wednesday at 7:30. I found that very interesting. And I have to think of myself all the times that I just didn't want to go. We're pulled away with a lot of worldly influences. You just name something and you'll probably hit the head or the nail on the problem. Well, whose responsibility is it? And this part, I really appreciate what Mark did. I didn't have my lesson put together, but this just rolled it together. Whose responsibility is it? If you'd like to take a big guess, whose responsibility is it for these people who are late or not coming a lot of time? Would you guess the elders? Well, if you guess the elders, you're right. Acts chapter 20, verse 28. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock, among which the Holy Spirit hath made you overseers to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. 1 Peter 5, verses 1 through 4. The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder, and witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. I'd like to insert a note here. I want to pick on Phil again. If you're the second car out here in the parking lot, there's one car already out here. Guess whose it is? Phil and Ruth. Very seldom will I ever beat them. They're always here way ahead of time and doing things in the church building, and that's commendable. Well, is there anybody else responsible for these people? Yes, there is. The faithful members. You're responsible. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2 says, preach the word, be in season, be instant, in season, out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. Hebrews 3, verses 12 through 14. Beware, brethren, lest there be any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God, but exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidences steadfast to the end. Okay, we've got the elders and we've got the faithful members. Is there anybody else that's responsible? Well, if you said the individual is missing, then you're right again. Matthew 16:26 says, for what is a man profit if he gain the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Romans 12:1-2. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Romans 12:21 says, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. This is our own individual responsibility to God, presenting ourselves a living sacrifice. Being late or irregular attendance is a bad example to other Christians, and especially those that are new in the faith. Mark, I appreciate your work and allowing me to share with you. So where do I as an individual fit into this picture? Anymore, I don't think I miss that many services. But I am responsible as a faithful member. As I said before, I always try to let another elder or the minister know when I'm going to be gone. Yes, I've missed several services. Taking care of Zona and my mother in the last 2.5 years. And if you'll talk to Rex and Cletus, you'll know that that's bothered me, not being here. But it's something that necessary. Are the elders supposed to do all of the visitation? Or how about the minister? No, some think that we should leave it all to the minister to do the visitation. All of us are responsible for each other here and the missing members. Our responsibility is not just at the building, but also in our daily life as we see each other. Sometimes I'll see Charlie around and go and talk with him. I don't know if he's been sick and then he's working. And I said, Charlie, we missed you. Inquiring in others. I see others at the thrift shop. But you can go by and make a phone call or visit. You know, you can pick up one of these and make a phone call or pray for them. We can all do that. I realize that as we have health problems and we get older, that we have difficulty coming to service. Take a look at LB and Doris, how they come to service as often as they do. Their families are to be commended for bringing them to the service. And that's their desire, is to be here. Millie and others come as often as their health will let them come. From time to time, we all have circumstances that keep us from attending, such as our jobs, when we have to work on Sunday to make a living, which I've had to do in my past. But we should be on guard and not let it be a habit. The Lord knows when we're able to be here and when we're not able to be here. How can we improve our attendance here at Plymouth? It takes each one of us to do it. It can take 2 minutes to make a phone call to someone we have that we can spare. And yes, I'm just as guilty of not taking that 2 minutes. We just have to make the time. If we want to do something, we'll go do it. We'll make the time to do it, and we can do it. There are visits that are just meant for the minister to do, and there are visits that are just meant for the elders to make. And those, they should make and be sure to get those done. We all need to get involved with the church. The men need to come to the business meetings to help the church grow. And in the past, we have business meeting at 4:30 today. And in the past, we've had teenagers come to business meetings. And they've had good input in our meeting. And they've had suggestions just as good as us old adults. And older people, they've had good suggestions and wanting to see the church grow. The women can share their needs to the men to take to the business meeting. Many of you have, and this is great as it reflects your concerns and wanting to see the church grow. Now, what a lot of this boils down to, or what it all boils down to, is how dedicated am I to God? Not how dedicated am I to the minister or elder or friend or anyone else that influences us in our spiritual life. God is the most important person in our lives. Matthew 25:1-4. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins. Which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. Are we going to be late? Are we going to be unprepared when Jesus comes, like the 5 virgins who were shut out of the wedding because they were not prepared? I told Cletus I was going to tell him. Cletus, you remember me telling you how to keep a trail? Anybody know how to keep a trail? You walk on it. You walk on it. If you don't walk on it, the vegetation will grow over the trail and you lose the trail. Like studying God's Word, you stop studying it and you forget what He says. When you get out of the habit of assembling, it's like you have stopped studying or cared about God. Jesus is coming back. We all need to be ready. Are we going to be seriously ready? Are we going to be later or not here and miss that great calling? Are we going to miss out like the 5 virgins that got shut out of the wedding for not being prepared? As I said, this lesson I put together for me is something that I realized in my past and I'm sharing. And I just wanted to share this with you, that we need, that I need to be, and we all need to be, real serious and dedicated to God. If the church, which is all of us, not this building, can help you in any way with prayer or baptism or anything you need help with, we ask that you come forward or contact us privately. If you need help from the church or anything, would you come as we stand and sing?